So this week, interesting, because I just really felt God kind of bring me back to a place. You know, last week we were talking about out of John 10 that we hear the voice of the good shepherd, but we do not hear and we do not follow the voice of the stranger. Right? And I mentioned that what I felt for me, the stranger's voices can be seen in three different places. One, that's Satan, right? We know that. He's the accuser. He's the voice that's easy to distinguish between all of these is his, because he's always coming. He'll always speak against God's character. He'll speak against his word. He'll try to seed in doubt. He'll lie. He'll bring temptation. So his voice is easy, right? Then the second voice of the stranger is the voice of the world, right? Now that gets wrapped up in the culture and in the secularness of our society, right? You can find that. It doesn't take long to find the voice of the world. Just go look on the internet. You know, that you won't be on it long and ads will pop up and tell you what you need, what you're not good at, what you should be better at, and they'll just come and flood you with ads and distractions. They'll take you on bunny trails that nobody needs to really go on. You know, and that would be nice. The internet would be a lot nicer place if when that ad popped up, it just said, just know that if you go through this open door, you're going to waste 30 minutes of time. And you go, oh, but why would I go down there? You know, it's like a dark alley. Nobody walks to the city at night and goes, oh, there's a dark alley. We should go walking down here to see if we find the thing that we're looking for. But that's the world. The third one is the voice of self. And self, the voice of self is the one that, for me, is the one that gets the most hard to hear. Because I find that it pulls in on past traumas and hurts, pulls in on my successes and my failures, right? It pulls in on my desires, my insecurities, and all that. And so the voice itself is just, it's more constant. It's like the voice of the enemy, but the enemy is only using those things. You know, but you get, if when you, at least for me, when I start to dwell on them, I know I'm listening to the voice of self. It might be a hook that the enemy kind of prods or pulls on to start, but the longer I stay there, I find out he's basing it on my abilities to get out of here. If you only do this, right, it'll even sound good sometimes. Well, maybe you didn't pray long enough. Well, I guess what? I didn't pray long enough. Right? If I pray long enough, then there's still more to pray after long enough. Right? So the enemy will try to, he uses, at least with me, he uses religious thoughts a lot. You know? And so he'll seed those things in and he'll go, oh, maybe you shouldn't have done that. Or maybe you should have done this. You know? And that's self. Self gets tangled up. And, you know, there's an old adage in the computer tech world, and we've all adopted it. We all know it. It's garbage in, garbage out, right? And for me, it's garbage in, garbage out, right? If I put too much of the enemy, the world, or myself in, I know what's coming out. Right? It certainly is going to be less of this if I'm putting all that in. Yeah. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. I'm not talking in any veil, with a veil on it. I'm trying to real straight. And I'm just, and again, I'll talk about me. You can agree if it's you, but it's me. I know that for me, if I find myself, if I start to hear myself and it doesn't sound like God's word, I know there's too much. There's too much of the other three, right? And those could be, for me, I always kind of think of them like Job's friends. They're always hanging around looking for an opportunity to add into my day, Yeah, right? Yeah. So garbage in, garbage out. So this week, the Lord brought back something that for the longest time, and I can remember, Pastor, I can remember back in youth group when you taught on Joshua 1. And I can remember back on you talking about meditation. And not meditation like, you know, New Age meditation. We don't, you know, we're not, ooh, getting spooky, mystic. No, it's, you know, that word meditate. And I'll let's read the scripture first, because then it's, let's start with the right foundation. You don't need to know my thoughts. Joshua 1, starting in verse 6. It says, "Be strong and of good courage, for this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your to their fathers to give you, to give to them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commands you to do. Do not turn from the right hand to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage, and do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Amen. So meditate, right? Just some, just look them up, and just looking up words in the Strong's, right? Just to remind myself. Meditate, to murmur in pleasure or anger, to ponder, imagine, mutter, utter. I added sputter, but that's just because I liked the way it all sounded. To study or to talk. To meditate, right? And immediately when I heard that, I thought about Colossians. Set your minds on things above where Christ is, right? Set your mind. Because where your mind is set, that's what you'll say, right? It's where your mind is set is what you'll say, right? And I can prove that to you. Last Sunday after I spoke, I went home and I took out the trash, right? And got it there. And then the day went along a little further. And then all of a sudden I remembered, oh, the Patriots are playing today. Right? I know you all think, what a dummy, the Patriots. No, I get it. The Patriots are playing. And I thought, well, let me just check the score. And I checked the score. And to my surprise, we were winning, which we were playing the best team in the league. And it was on TV. So I thought, well, I'm going to go sit down and watch it. So I sat down and watched it. Immediately upon sitting down to watch the TV, I set my mind on that game. You know what the only thing I could think about was the rest of the evening? Was that game. Right? Because where you set your mind to, you purpose it on, you place it there, right? That's what you'll think on. That's what you'll start to say. And I found myself, as it were, yelling at the TV, right? Don't make that penalty. What a dumb penalty, right? I mean, you guys know. It's not, this is just, so again, what you set your mind on will be what you say. It's what comes out. Garbage in, garbage out. Now, not that the Patriots are garbage. Before last week, I might have thought they were. Last week, they beat the best team in the league. So, I know, nobody else here is going to agree with me on that, but that's okay. Observe, the word observe, because it says observe to do. That's to hedge about. That's the words, it's more like to, it's not observe like doing something. It's more like to guard. It's to protect, right? It's to take heed or to preserve. It's like what we, it's like what I think of when my kids and that give me charge of the grandkids. right? I have to watch over what they're doing. You have to kind of watch them, right? Namely the little one, Arch, because he's the quickest. The others, they're not going to go far. But Arch, he's ready to go. So it's I have to take heed. I have to observe. Right? I have to be mindful of where he's at and what he's doing. Right? That's what that word means. Observed the word of God. Observe it. It's the book of the law. But let's remember, the book of the law was then. Now it's this word, this book. Observe it. Protect it. Watch it. Keep your mind on it. Be attentive to it. And then it says you'll prosper. Right? Wes was singing that about that. There's a but that word prosper isn't what I thought it was. I thought prospering was like everything's going to go great and I'm going to have lots of money. Right? It's not that. It's to prosper. It has to do with the intellect. Right? It's to be considered an expert, right? To have instruction or skill, good success, right? We might consider it more like favor, right? Yeah, right? Right? It's to teach understanding and wisdom, right? And then it said to guide wittingly. And I thought, wittingly? Why do I know wittingly? Well, I know the other side of it, unwittingly.
Yeah.
Right, I didn't do that on purpose. I did it unwittingly. Right. So to guide something wittingly is purposeful. It's intentional. So to prosper is to be on the right path. It's being prospered. It's having the intellect, the understanding, the expertise, the stuff necessary to move in the path that you're on. That's what prosperity is.
Yeah.
Right, and. So I'm like, okay, God, that's, you said if I observe, then they'll be prosper, right? We already talked about meditation. Then it says further on, it says prosperity, right? Make your way prosperous, right? And that's a different word than the one we just said. That's to be prosperous is to push forward, to break out, or to go over to meet or to be profitable. Okay, so that word is more overcome.
Yeah.
Right? It's to break out. To break out. Who here today wants to break out of some things?
Yeah.
Right? You want to break out of some things. There's some things that have been there that it just need that prosperous.
Yeah.
Need that to observe to do so that you'll prosper. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, strong. Three times it says be strong and be courageous.
Yeah.
Right? So be strong. It's to fasten upon. Right? It's like to grab on, be strong. Right? To seize, to bind, to be constant, to continue, to be established, to fasten, force, withstand, withhold, hold fast. And that's that point of having done all to stand, right? It's be strong in that place, right? And then courageous. It's to be alert physically and mentally, right? It's not one or the other, it's both. Steadfastly minded or established. Steadfastly minded. To be courageous. So I'm like, okay, God, you want us to be strong and courageous. And the way I become strong and courageous is to meditate, to keep your word on my mouth, to keep your word on my mouth, to mutter it. We all know to mutter. It's what we do in the Costco line when they're not working fast enough for us. I can't believe that the dumbest people in the entire world can't get this thing right. Why does that one not have a barcode on it? Right? That's what it is.
Yeah.
And we all do that.
Right.
Or maybe you all don't.
All right.
Right? But what that is if we turn that around and we do it for positive, we do it for the for with the scripture, it's that same thing. It's muttering. It's just talking to yourself. It's continually talking, running it before, keeping your mind stayed on it. Because what your mind is set on is what you'll say. So what you say is what you keep your mind, keep it on. It's what you keep it on, right? Because I don't know about you, because I can find a bunny trail anywhere, right? And those three friends will all help me find a bunny trail, right? Do not be afraid. That's awe, dread, harassment, to be broke, to break like a glass, right? It's sudden, it's quick. Oppress, or to shake in terror. That's afraid, right? And then dismayed, to prostrate, to go low, to break down by violence or confusion, right? To break down, to discourage, to go down. So all of dismay has to do with getting forced to become lower and lower. But again, the opposite of that, that dismay is prosperity, which is to break out and go over, right? So God says, be strong, fasten yourself to it, hold it, stay in that place, and be courageous. It's a place of your mind, right? It's to be alert, physical, and that. Be mindful of that. Meditate. Keep that. Keep the word on your lips. Say it, right? And then you won't be dismayed, but you'll come into a breaking out.
Yes.
Okay? So Psalm 119:14 says, this is the prayer, let the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable, which is delightful. It's delightful to God. If the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart in his sight, that brings strength. Do you see that?
Yeah.
It says, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Yeah. There's a strength that comes from guarding over what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
And what's in your heart, right? And we all know the only thing that can get anything out of your heart is the word, right?
Yeah.
The word's as sharp as a two-edged sword, dividing either the bone or the marrow, the soul and the spirit, and the thoughts and the intents of my heart, right? So it's only the word. That's what Wes was saying. It's only the word, right? Which is why he sings it, because Wes has a good voice. He can sing it. You know, me, I mutter it.
Yeah.
Right? And that's okay.
That's good.
I'm acceptable, delightful to the Lord, who in doing it gives strength.
Yes.
Yes.
It's strength.
Yes, 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 yes.
Right?
Yes.
Psalm 8:2 says, out of the mouth of babes and infants you have ordained strength.
Yes.
Yes. So if babes and infants can have strength ordained because of what's coming out of their mouth, how much more us?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And I'll at least say, well, I can at least make enough noise, a similar noise to them, right?
Yeah.
If that's all you need from me is that to give me strength, right? Okay, Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So the strength that we get is not our strength. It's not my strength. Though in Joshua, he's saying that you will be, right? And you will have, you'll have it and be because it's in Christ. It's in Jesus. It's his might, right? It's his might, right? And that might is that it denotes it's dunamis, it's strong, it's dunamis power, which is miraculous power. It's not might of your own, it's the might that comes from him.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and I know as this week I stopped in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 3:18, where it says that the foolish things of the world, right, or the knowledge of the world, the stuff that's in the world, right, is foolish to God, right? So I'm having to keep telling myself, you know what, don't let your strength, don't try to find that strength. Don't try to find the place of being out of dismay or out of fear. Don't try to find it in the world. You won't find it there. Like, I mean, I don't know. You might. I couldn't. I can't find it there. You know? But God says it's foolish. It's foolish to look there. So I was like, okay, God, then in all this, you have me just now watching what I'm saying and watching how I'm saying it. Right? Because it's the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Yeah.
And it's a constant. Joshua said, day and night.
Yeah.
Meditate day and night that you'll observe to do. So I find myself when I wake up in the middle of the night, I just try to, you know, instead of just wandering to the restroom, I'm like now talking to him about it. I'm muttering, as it were.
Yeah.
And he just, again, re-saying what I know of him. Right? Re-saying what I know of him. You don't, pastors are always talking about you have an experience. So you may not have an experience with the word that you're meditating, but the longer you hold it and meditate and mutter it and abide in it and keep saying it and that, you'll have an experience. Right? That's the outcome of the word, is that you meet Jesus in it. Right?
Yeah.
So I think we'll end in Zechariah chapter 4, because I was asking God, I was just saying, well, Lord, if all else fails, what else do I do? What else do you need me to remember? Right? Because though I can be meditating and muttering and holding that spot and all that, and I just felt like the Lord was saying, you know, you can be doing everything and still end up feeling the pressure of where you're at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And so Zechariah 4:6 says, so he answered and said unto me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Right? Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.
Yes.
Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and you shall break forth, right? There's that prosperity, breaking forth, right? It's the breaking forth, the capstone, with shouts of grace and grace to it. So I just started as I was coming to the end of the week, and I was praying, and I was just saying, God, I need more grace in this new place. I need more grace in this place where you're at today. And so I just started pulling in on him, on grace, and I started saying, God, your grace is sufficient for me. In my weakness, your grace is sufficient. In my strength, your grace is sufficient. In my confusion, your grace is sufficient. In your leading, my grace is sufficient. Right? And I just started taking every place that my soul was wanting to go. A lot like Susan was saying about taking all that stuff and just throwing it into that tsunami of that was being swept away. I was just like, okay, God, your grace is sufficient there. Your grace is sufficient. Your grace is sufficient on 80 Wood Road. Your grace is sufficient as we look around to try to find it. You know, as we look, we see, all we see is giants. All we see is lack, right? But he's saying, yeah, but, you know, this morning when I was praying, I heard the Lord say, but remember Caleb. What is it, Numbers 14, I think? Numbers 14.
Or Joshua 14. Which one, the first time?
The first time. Numbers 14. Let's just go there. It starts in verse 27, and I'll end with this. And I already told you I was going to end with Zechariah. Forgive me. Anointings mess up everything. Right? Chapter 13 of Numbers in verse 27, right? Did I say that?
Yeah, now 13.
It's 13. It's one more chapter up. Right? See, I put a bookmark in it. Everybody see that? Because that was fresh. That was fresh bread this morning, and I was like, oh, I got to take that, right? Verse 27. Right, they have just come back. The spies just come back from the land. They're carrying giant fruit.
Yeah.
Right? Carrying giant fruit.
Yeah.
And they're telling everybody about it. And then they go on to tell this. And then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us, and it truly flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit. Right? So they actually physically brought it back. You know, and we've all seen the pictures. I don't know how true it is. They got giant grapes and guys carrying it on a pole. I don't know. I had some big grapes the other day. I don't know if I want a grape that's this big. You know, but I get it. It's they're seeing the huge prosperity, how great it is. It flows with milk and honey. Not even California flows with milk and honey. Right? And if it did, we'd probably have to import it in from Northern California. Right? Don't go there. Right? Nevertheless, the people who dwelt in the land are strong, and their cities are fortified and very large. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell there, and all the Ites. Now we're going to go into all the different Ites. And they all dwell there. And then verse, you know, on the other side of the Jordan, verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses. Caleb was one of the twelve. Him and Joshua. Right? Right? And Caleb quiets the people. So everybody's all in a uproar. Right? They're all in a tizzy. They're all concerned. Some are probably still trying to figure out the giant grapes. Right? Right? But there's giants in the land, and they're all trying to figure that out, and that's what they're hearing. And all of a sudden, Caleb just quiets everybody. Shh. Like Sunday school. Shh. Quiet down. Everybody gets quiet, and Caleb says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Right? One voice. One voice. Right? Didn't matter. Everybody else was concerned about the giants. Right? Last one, really. And I'll just read this one. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28 says, where can we go up? My brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller, and their cities are greater and more fortified up to the heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anak there. See, their words, the 10 spies' words, discouraged.
Yes. Yeah.
Took away their courage.
Right?
And they became dismayed. They went under those words. Right? And I believe what God's saying to me, I believe what God's saying to Jubilee, is be strong.
Yes.
Be courageous.
Yes.
Don't tremble. Don't be dismayed. For I'm with you. Right? And I'm going to prosper you. Like we heard with today, he says, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I'm right there.
Yeah.
Not only with each one individually, but each one, all of us as a whole. God's with us.
Yeah.
Right? And so though it may not seem that there's a space that's open and perfect and that yet, God's with us. And so he's saying, don't be dismayed, don't be afraid. Be strong and have good courage. And today, meditate, hold that place. Keep his word. Keep him, his word, in your lips. Right? And that'll bring the strength. So Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you today, Lord, for your word. Father, and I ask that for this people, that today you would help us. Father, help us to set our mind on things above where Christ is.
Yeah.
Father, help us to have our mind there so that our mouth will follow.
Yes.
Father, help us to meditate, Father, and to receive strength. Not strength within ourselves or from ourselves, but the strength that comes from you by the Holy Spirit and that prospers us on the way. So that we can come out of places where we've been dismayed, that is trying to keep us down, but bring us into places of overcoming victory inside of you. So we thank you for that today, Lord. We ask you for help and hope. And with shouts of grace, Father, we will enter into the new place for Jubilee. And whenever that is, Lord, but by shouts of grace. And grace to it. It'll break us out of the old and into the new in the purpose that you have for us, Lord. And we thank you for it, Lord, now in Jesus' name. Amen.